talking with the experts.
Carrie Pujon explains to us all about best practices eliminating dysfunction and long-range strategic planning in episode 310.
Well, yeah, that's basically three things. One is actionable financial data. In other words, getting the weekly dashboards and get them good narratives of what their financial statements are saying on a monthly basis, right? They need, like, this is how you've been structured. We need to look at your debt structure. We need to look at getting more capital in. We need the profitability, gross margins, et cetera, operating expenses. So get them financial data that they can act on. That's what all that's about. Number two is eliminating dysfunction, which is finding out or identifying where the dysfunction is. And if you really want to know what the dysfunction is, don't ask the owner, ask the employees. The employees know because they do the job day in and day out. The owner is always being called into it, but they never have a really firsthand experience of what it is. It's always their interpretation. And this is the problem. This is how I'm going to fix it.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. Talking with the Experts is about all things business, by business owners, for business owners. You can find it on all good podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today, my guest is Carrie Pujon. And I'm sure he's going to correct the pronunciation of his name after I get him on the screen. But he is from CFO Consulting, and his topic today is best practices eliminating dysfunction and long-range strategic planning as far as your finances are concerned. Hello, Carrie, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, hello, Rose. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's lovely to meet you. How did you get into financial consulting in the first place?
Well, I have an accounting background. I have a degree in accounting from university. I also have a CPA. I worked for one of the big eight accounting firms. I think they're down to the big four. And from there, I worked as a controller or secretary treasurer, and eventually, I guess, CFO for some companies, industrial companies mostly. And what I always saw was that accounting was always backward looking. It's always like, these are your financial statements for last period. These are your tax returns for last year. It was never forward looking. In fact, when I was first out into the working world, I was told that a good accountant is a good scorekeeper. Well, what does a scorekeeper do? They tell you what's already happened, right? They don't tell you how to play the game better. Right. So I was always looking for, it's like, there's gotta be some way that I can impart to the management, the owners, whoever, like, hey, these are some opportunities I see. These are some strategic moves I think you could, you know, at least consider to help improve the business, make it more profitable, improve cash flow, redo that show, whatever. And so I started doing that and eventually started my own consulting firm, CFO Consulting. And I found that it was much more effective for the business owners to get that kind of advice rather than, here's your financial statements. And I've seen that so many times where you go into a business and the accounting department hands over, here's the financial statements for last month, boss. Let me know if you have any questions. And the owners don't have any questions because they don't know what they're looking at.
I agree with you that forward thinking and you know, planning for the future is a lot better than looking at the stuff that's already happened. And I mean, that's for the accountant or the bookkeeper to worry about, basically. I mean, obviously the profit and loss is the business owner's responsibility to look at, but the other stuff to how you could move the business forward based on those figures, I think is a heck more important than, you know, looking at last year's financials.
Right. I mean, most business owners, you give them financial statements and it looks like a bunch of numbers on a page. They don't know how to interpret it. They don't know the financial statements are saying about the state of their business in terms of its financial strength, its liquidity, its profitability, its effectiveness. So they generally need someone to help them interpret that. And that's what That's what accountants are supposed to do. But most accountants are, and I'm not trying to, you know, diss accounting as a profession, but most of it is like, okay, here's a financial statement. Yeah, what's the words they use in an audit report? It's fair and reasonable presentation of the results of operation and financial condition, right? Okay, what does that mean? So a lot of business owners, and I'm not saying all, but a lot of business owners, they look at, you know, what was our bottom line? A lot of business owners, in terms of managing by the numbers, and I hear that a lot, I want to be able to manage by the numbers. And really for them, managing by the numbers is how much cash we have, which is, as of today, so what? You know, what do you have coming? They don't have good cash management tools. They don't have dashboards to tell them what's going on in the business during the month. Most financial statements come out, I mean, at the earliest, generally 10 days after the month. So what can you do with that? There's nothing you do about last month. It's over. But if you get dashboards about what's going on now in terms of sales, in terms of what receivables look like, payables, inventory, or your taxes paid, what does cash flow look like a week out, 2 weeks out, 30 days out, you can take action then proactively rather than having to react to a crisis of, hey, boss, we're $100,000 overdrawn at the bank. You know,
I'd freak.
I've seen it.
So, you know, I guess what you do in your strategic planning is you provide the owner with actionable financial data and, you know, you limit their time to, you know, about an hour a week.
Well, the actionable financial data that I set up for clients generally is in the form of dashboards that I was talking about, where they get all the dashboards on the same day generally, and they can pick a day, Friday, Monday, whatever it is. And then those dashboards, and what helps is that to go through the dashboards with them. Because again, kind of like financial statements, they don't always know what it means, but you have them look at their, say, receivables and what is current, what is 30 days past due, 60 days past due, 90 days, what are the percentages, what are the numbers, are there any problem accounts, is there any action need to be taken, do we need the owner's help in contacting one of the customers, owners to get payment, that kind of thing, rather than, you know, you find out a customer went bankrupt and you can't collect anything now. So this all that and cash flow, you know, at least a 2 week outlook of what cash flow looks like. What do you have incoming that you're sure of? What do you have that you know you have to outgo? What are your payables? What are the critical vendors? So you see how much cash you have. And if you can see it coming, kind of like an iceberg, you can navigate around it. But if you wait till you hit the iceberg, it's too late then. So you try and get through those, you try and navigate around the cash flow bottleneck by having some picture of what cash flow is going to look like a week out, 2 weeks out, 30 days out. You have a big insurance premium coming up. You have some tax estimated payments coming up, a big note, whatever, you know, the different things.
Yeah, no, it's a great, it sounds like a really great system that, you know, business owners could adopt to, I guess, to make sure that they're better equipped to run their businesses and they know when stuff's coming out and when stuff's coming in, you know, the guaranteed payments that are coming in from their clients.
Exactly. Here's how it normally works. The business owner comes in, he or she doesn't know what's going to happen. They know something's going to happen because almost every day they're handed some crisis du jour, as I call it, you know, some hand grenade put in the lap. And now you got to defuse it. Cash flow problem, tax problem, production problem, shipping problem. They don't have a good, what I call a good set of procedures that are documented and everybody's informed and it's all disseminated. Everybody knows what everybody's supposed to do and they have part in it. And generally that happens because businesses, well, let me sort of back up a little bit. Business owners are usually good entrepreneurs. They're good at something. They're good at sales. They're good at manufacturing. They're good at something. So they start a business because they've already made a bunch of money for somebody else generally when they're young. They say, I can do this myself. So they've got to start a business. So as the business progresses, grows, they need to hire people. They need to hire a bookkeeper, they need to hire an assistant, they need to hire salespeople, whatever. And so the business grows. And, you know, you have this group of people now acting as a unit. The problem is that when the owner hires somebody to do, quote, a job, the owner has some picture of what that job is in terms of they're going to do this, they're going to do that. The person that gets hired has their own interpretation of this is what I need to do for the job. So as you bring in more and more people, you have all these what I call incongruent conversations because If you look at a business, it's really a network of conversations, offers, promises, requests, declarations, assessments. And when those conversations are incongruent, you get this dysfunction to where suddenly what you're expecting out of this person isn't happening, and what you're expecting them to do for this other person in the business isn't happening. And it gets disjointed, and you, a lot of blaming, you know, it's their fault. I did my job, it's their fault. No. So the owner gets sucked into all these breakdowns, whatever it is, because there's no good procedures, and the owner doesn't know how to do that. Now, the thing I always tell new clients is, if you knew how to fix this, you'd have fixed it by now. The problem is you don't know how to fix it. And this has been going on for whatever, 10, 15, 20 years. You have the same chronic breakdowns, the same chronic frustrations. And what happens when they get sucked into this, a lot of times, let's call a meeting, bring all the employees in. This is a problem, and this is how it, we're going to solve it. Anybody have any input, any questions? Nope. I've offered stuff before and gotten slapped on the wrist for it. I'm not offering anything. So you have an entrepreneur. Again, entrepreneurs are very good at what? Taking risks, seeing opportunity, making things happen, taking action. A good manager is good at what? Keeping things steady, not changing things up. I've seen owners, because it's kind of boring, they go and change things just to see if they can make it better, and it creates chaos. Mm. So again, the distinction I make for owners is, you're a great entrepreneur. You're not a good manager. You know, you're not a good manager. If you're a good manager, you wouldn't have all this chronic breakdown going on. You wouldn't be talking to me right now. And we don't want to make you a great manager, because to make you a great manager, you're going to have to unlearn how to be a great entrepreneur. And you're much more valuable to the business as an entrepreneur, going out and getting business. That's why you started this thing. Go out and get business. We're going to extract you from the day-to-day management of the company, which you're going to really like, even though I know you like to get in there and have your fingers in all the everything, all minutia. That's what I call managing the minutia. And you're going to get lost in that. You don't have time to do what you want. The other problem I see with business owners is that try and manage the minutia is they get tied into the business and become a glorified W-2 employee. They can never take a vacation, because if they take a vacation, everybody's so used to the owner coming in and fixing everything and doing everything that they're not going to function. They're not going to take the initiative. They're not going to try and solve it, because they've been told, basically, the message that comes across is, you can't do it my way. You can't handle things the way I want them handled. Are you familiar with the movie Casino? Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
There was a scene in that where De Niro is talking to this inept employee. He says, we do things three ways around here, the right way, the wrong way, and my way. We do things my way here. And that's what the message that gets conveyed, not overtly, but that's the message that everybody gets, is we need to do things the boss's way. Well, that can change from day to day. I mean, these entrepreneurs, they're always looking at different angles. So they'll see, do it this way this time, do it another way another time. So everybody's kind of like, I'm not going to try and do any initiative here, because it's never the boss's way.
Yeah.
So the boss, you know, the owner can't take a vacation. We're working 80 to 100 hours a week, frustrated. And they're always enmeshed with all these little problems, rather than having people they train and trust, having good procedures, and allowing them to manage the business so the owner can go out and do what they do and keep the big picture in mind and do the strategic planning to guide the business down the road.
Now, you've developed a process called the well-oiled machine. Would you want to let us know about what that is?
Well, that's basically three things. One is actionable financial data. In other words, get them the weekly dashboards and get them good narratives of what their financial statements are saying on a monthly basis, right? They need, like, this is how your business is structured. We need to look at your debt structure. We need to look at getting more capital in. We need the profitability, gross margins, et cetera, operating expenses. So get them financial data that they can act on. That's what all that's about. Number two is eliminating dysfunction, which is finding out or identifying where the dysfunction is. And if you really want to know what the dysfunction is, don't ask the owner, ask the employees. The employees know, because they do the job day in and day out. The owner is always being called into it, but they never have a really firsthand experience of what it is. It's always their interpretation. And this is the problem. This is how we're going to fix it. So get all the procedures done to where the business is now operating smoothly in the background, and the owner's not constantly being interrupted with, hey, boss, problem. And thirdly, the thing that's going to separate successful businesses from those that may or may not make it is long-term strategic planning. And that is designing the business into the future, because your business is going to be buffeted around by the market, competitors, suppliers, technology, government regulations, taxation, the workforce. All those things are going to move your business around. And if you're not guiding it, you're not steering it, you know, you'll end up in a place you probably don't like, as opposed to designing it in the future. And again, I tell owners, what you need to do is constantly be scanning the horizon for what's coming at you, because there's always stuff coming. I mean, the only constant in this world is change, right? So to get them to constantly be scanning the horizon and see what's coming, opportunities as well as perils or risk, how can you design the business to take advantage, the most advantage of the opportunities that are out there and avoid the perils? And design the business so that, and when you're ready to, whatever, sell, quit, give it to the kids, something with the business owner, the business is going to be the most valuable to you as the owner. And in the meantime, how do you gain the trust of your employees? That's one of the first things I usually find out about a business is I do what's called an identity check, where you check with, you know, give me your employees that you trust. If you want to, give me some customers, give me some vendors. And I'm just going to do an oral conversation with them and find out kind of your identity. And generally what comes back is they don't trust you and you're a bad manager, which, you know, for a lot of these guys, a lot of these people is unsettling.
Yes, it would be, wouldn't it? You know, they've built.
It's like, what do you mean that they don't trust me? I pay them, don't I?
That's it.
Well, yeah, you do. That's basic transactional relationship. But what they don't get is that you don't care about them, because that's one of the things I hear about it. Like, they don't care. He doesn't care about me. He cares about his business. He cares about being profitable. He cares about making money. He cares about his own lifestyle, but he doesn't care about me. And what gets lost is, well, what happens in business is the business owner is so focused on being successful, they see their employees basically as cogs in a machine, and not as people. And that's a problem with us human beings. We're messy like that, right? Yes. We all mess. We all have our own narratives. We all have our own concerns, our own families, our own stuff going on. And if the owner doesn't take a genuine interest in who you are as a human being, you're going to get, they don't care about me. And if without four elements of trust, I've been trained. Caring, you care about me like you care about you. Or is there a, we're going to take care of each other kind of relationship? Are you sincere? Do you mean what's coming out of your mouth? Does it match what's going on in your head? Are you reliable? You know, are you confident? Do you have the ability to do what you say you're going to do? And are you reliable? Do you have a history of completing your promises, making good on your promises? But without care, without the first one, the other three don't matter. They don't care how sincere you are, how confident you are, how reliable you are. You don't, if they don't get that you don't care, they're not going to trust you. I mean, they'll trust you up to a point transactionally. They'll come in and, you know, put their body in your place of work for X amount of hours and produce certain things. But in terms of being like really loyal or really being committed or upping the game to help you get to where you want, they're not, that's not going to happen. No. They're going to be subject to being hired away by the competition, maybe starting their own business. There's going to be a lot of infighting and territorial. I see a lot with the managers, their own little fiefdoms in the business. They all want their little, you know, their own little kingdom. And they're going to be very competitive with other managers in the business. Mm-hmm. And it's because the owner hasn't developed a cohesive team of loyal, dedicated, highly competent people. Because that's, you know, where do you learn how to do that? They don't teach you that in business school. They don't teach you that in any of the, I don't know, any universities I know of. No, that's something that has to be learned. And to do that, you're going to have a coach. And why do you want a coach? Think of all the world-class athletes out there. How many coaches do they have? They have a bunch of coaches. Why? Because they have a strength coach. Maybe you have a fitness coach. Maybe you have like a mental coach. You have a skills coach, all these different coaches. Why do you have coaches? Because you can't see yourself perform. You can't see yourself in the performance of what you do. Coaches can. They see you performing. Not only that, a good coach is going to have distinctions you don't have about how to up your game. And I'll give you something that business owners can relate to. Think of the program Excel. Excel is really, really powerful. if you have the distinctions to know how to work it. If you don't know how to work it, it just looks like this spreadsheet that you can put stuff in the different cells. But if you don't know how to manipulate them, and I don't know how to do, say, pivot tables, or you don't know how to do the summation, or you don't know how to make things reference from other pages in the workbook, it's kind of, it's a spreadsheet. But if you have the distinction of how to work Excel, it becomes a very powerful analytical tool. Cool. So having those distinctions, having those distinctions allows you to really up your game with, you know, analyzing the data, so to speak. So if you don't have the distinctions, here's an example. If you walk into a room and the lights get shut out, totally black, you can't distinguish anything from anything else. You know where the floor is because you're standing on it. Maybe you can make your way to a wall, but you have no idea where the obstacles are, where the furniture is, what the colors are like, and you can't safely navigate your way through the room. I mean, you're liable to trip on something, fall over on something, break something. When you turn the light on, all of a sudden you see these distinctions. So it's a matter of a coach has good distinctions that enable the business owner to take not only better moves, but much more effective moves. You can really up your game. And generally, you know, it's not that big, but the effective moves you can make are much bigger, so to speak, with the right distinctions. Like, again, how to build a loyal team, you know. Those distinctions, you're not going to find them hardly anywhere. But with those kind of distinctions and time and practice, you can build a very loyal, devoted team of highly skilled people.
Absolutely. Yes. I totally agree with you. I think it's a learned technique. It's not something that you're born with, that's for sure.
Right.
So, Carrie, where can people find you if they'd like to know more or work with you? I had a mental block then, sorry.
That's all right. It's all right. It's still early for me. I have a website, strategicadvisors.org. I'm on LinkedIn, Carrie Prejean, CFO Consulting. My email is carrie@cfoconsulting.co, not com.
Yeah.
I'm easy to find if you look for me.
Well, we'll just Google you up and it'll all be there and you'll become totally famous.
I hope so.
Carrie, what words of wisdom would you like to share with our audience today?
I had a mentor a long time ago. He said, "You want to know the secret to life?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Getting exactly what you want." The bigger secret to the getting exactly what you want, I mean, that sounds obvious, getting exactly what you want. Yeah, secret to life. How do you go about getting the secret to everything you want? The big part is knowing exactly what you want. And most people spend more time planning next year's vacation or this year's vacation than they do reflecting on what does I really want out of life? You know, what kind of physical shape I want to be in, what kind of money do I want to make, what kind of career do I want to have, what about my relationships, what do I want to do for fun, all the different domains of human action, what do you really want? And part of finding out what you want is having to experience different types of things in the different domains that you find out you don't want. You know, so as a business owner or as anybody, what do you really want out of life and how are you going to go about to get it? If you're not clear on what you want out of life, you will never be totally satisfied. And that's what getting exactly what you want is satisfaction. So, you know, that's a big thing is as Americans, I don't know about Australians, but as Americans, we're all crazy about being happy and looking for happiness and wondering when is happy going to find me? Well, happy is an emotion. It's a fairly short-lived emotion that happens on and off all day. You know, what's more rewarding is to be satisfied because you're getting out of life exactly what you want because you're clear about what that is and you've gone after it and you're getting it. And again, that doesn't mean you want this and once you achieve it, that's it. No, you're always upping exactly what you want out of life if you're paying attention.
Yeah, no, you don't get anything if you don't work for it anyway, I reckon.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Carrie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your knowledge with us today. And I'm sure that people would have learned something from it.
Hopefully so. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate you having me on the show.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time. Talking with the experts.